In his recent revised executive order, President Trump has cut the number of refugees allowed into the U.S. by more than half. But since the fall of last year, nearly 1,800 refugees have already resettled in New England, and more than a third of them are children and teens. As part of the New England News Collaborative series Facing Change, New England Public Radio's Nancy Cohen reports on the challenges facing these students in school and how educators are addressing them.
At Colburn Elementary School in West Springfield, Massachusetts, students come from all over the world.
My mom and dad are from Sudan.
My mom and dad are from Iraq.
Turkey.
Afghanistan.
Nepal.
I'm from Iraq.
Most of the English language learners here arrive as refugees. Inside an English language learning classroom, second graders learn English along with math.
If I have halves.
If I have halves.
I have two equal parts.
I have two equal parts.
I have two parts that are the same size.
Teacher Steph Duggan uses words, drawings, and hand signals to describe math vocabulary. The children watch, listen, repeat, and then explain the concepts to each other.
It is have a same size and same shape.
Working with one student is a teacher's aide who was once a refugee student herself.
I'm Sarah Almula. I'm from Iraq. And I came with no English.
Almula's father worked as a translator for the American military in Mosul, but it became unsafe. The family fled to Kurdistan, then 6 years ago to West Springfield, where Almula started high school.
I felt like I couldn't do it, and it was so hard, and I had no friends, I had nothing, and everything was new to me.
Almula, who's now in college, says a turning point came when a history teacher wanted to know her story.
He was like asking about our culture and asking about home and so many things that he really care about, and it made me feel like I want to learn more.
Inviting refugee students to share their history is a way to help them feel a part of a school.
Make them feel happy and wanted.
Ken Pransky first taught students who were refugees 30 years ago in Amherst.
It was pretty traumatic. Their families had just been a part of the Cambodian Holocaust, and they were living in refugee camps. And they were coming with T-shirts and shorts and sandals in the winter. Many of them actually had never been to school.
Pransky recalls some kids were so overwhelmed by the large brick school with hundreds of students, at first they hid under the tables.
Expectations are different, weather's different, food is different, everything is different, and it's scary.
Joan Snowden also learned a lot from teaching Cambodian refugees. Today she teaches English language learners at Amherst High School. She says if a student has experienced trauma, when teachers are consistent and predictable, that helps them learn.
It really helps kids to feel like they're in control of their lives if they've had times where they were not in control of their lives and when no one was in control of the situation.
Snowden even writes the date and the class agenda on the same place on the board every day and make sure they're prepared for the bells.
It really helps them to know that the bells ring at 7:45, that this is what happens in this building. This is where this club always meets. So they can start to feel this is their community, this is their school, they belong here and they're safe here.
Some kids last attended school in refugee camps or haven't been in months, years, or ever. Julie Sugarman is an analyst with the Migration Policy Institute.
Students who have never been to school would need to understand what school is and how one behaves and everything that we take for granted about understanding what schools are. They might not have literacy skills in any language, and so they need to learn how to read and how to write while they're learning English.
Doing this well can cost schools more money for more staff.
The refugee funding specifically is a tiny amount. The only funding that I know of that is specifically dedicated to refugees is the Refugee School Impact Grant, and that's about $14.6 million for the whole country.
The New England states received about $1.4 million, with the lion's share going to Massachusetts, which has the most refugees in the region.
That money is meant for additional English as a second language, for after-school programs, maybe for interpretation or working with parents. But it's really very, very limited and goes only to a few school districts within a state. So most refugees are served through the same kind of funding as other English learners.
And in fact, fact, schools are supposed to treat refugees the same way as any other student, not according to their immigration status, but according to their educational needs. Colleen Marcus, the director of English Language Learning in West Springfield, says her district gets creative when it comes to funding. For example, when they're hiring teachers' aides.
Looking for somebody who speaks a second language, a language that's going to help our students and our teachers and our families, is just smart.
West Springfield even has a custodian who speaks Nepali. He taught math in a refugee school in Nepal. When asked about the challenges of educating children who are refugees, Colleen Marcus insists there are only benefits.
What we learn from these children and these families about life and love and family and perseverance is a gift to all of us.
As one teacher put it, having students who are refugees makes us bring our game to the next level, and all students benefit. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Nancy Cohen.